Hello and welcome. We are back to our discussion on how to incorporate a business. And we discussed the last time, as you can see, pre-incorporation. You have to set up some steps before you actually begin the process of incorporation. That's called pre-incorporation. What a creative bunch of people they are that say that. It's the promoters and the subscriptions, raising the money, selling the idea. That's what you do. You turn around and get promoters who are people of 18 years of age to go out there or older and go out there and sell the idea that you have for this wonderful new business you want to start. And you sell subscriptions through the promoters, say, please invest in our idea. You're going to make a mint of money. And here's why. The promoters do that. They do just exactly what their name says. They promote the company. They promote the idea of your new business. And their subscriptions that they sell are promises to buy stock at the time that it's issued during the process of incorporation. Obviously, you can't buy the stock before the corporation exists, so you promise to buy that. And that's an agreement written by the promoter for the subscribing investor. Now, tonight we're going to talk about, in this second session, we're going to talk about the process of incorporation. We're going to talk about incorporators who, like promoters, have to be over age 18. They're the people who actually form the documents, create the documents, write the documents that they need to file in the Secretary of State's office. They draft the Certificate of Incorporation, which is the critical document. It's the Constitution of a corporation. And they perform the mechanics of incorporating. They turn around and they file the documents. They marshal all the documents. They gather them all together, including that Certificate of Incorporation, and file them together with all the fees and taxes required at the Office of Secretary of State. This is the process of incorporation. You take that pre-incorporation idea that's been sold to the investors and then go out and incorporate. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Before we do, we're going to review is the mother of success, and repetition is the mother of review. So let's talk about corporations. They're, remember, a legal entity, an artificial person under the law created in accordance with statutes. It's a creature of law. It's a legal construct. Nobody's ever seen one. It's an idea. And as a result, it comes in and has that status under the business corporation law of an artificial person under the law. Black's Law Dictionary carries on that definition as an artificial person created under the authority of the laws of the state. New York State, that's the business corporation law. It has an existence that's distinct from its associated individuals. It is not, a corporation is not its board of directors, it's not its shareholders, it's not its officers. It is a separate and distinct person under the law. And as a result of that, you need to know that it is an individual person under the law, and it has powers conferred to it by law, and it has a perpetual duration unless you limit it to a term of years within the certificate of incorporation. What are its principal characteristics? Again, as we discussed the last time, limited liability. It says that if you invest in the corporation, that's all you're going to lose. You're not going to lose anything more than your individual investment. It has limited liability, and that acts as a magnet for money because you know what your exposure is. And you can make a lot more than that, but you're limited to that amount. And it has entity powers. Remember, it's a corporate person. It is a person under the law. And it has all the powers, basically, that a person has. It can make contracts. It can turn around and borrow money. It can sue and be sued. All those powers, and we'll get to that in a second. It has centralized management. It is not operated by its shareholders. It has shareholders elected board of directors who makes the policy, and that board of directors is elected to represent the shareholders the same way as in our government structure. The corporate structure is also a representative Republican form of government. When we say Republican, it means it's representative. You don't have a democracy. The shareholders don't vote on what to do on every item. They're not the managers of the company. What they do is they vote for the board of directors, and that board of directors makes the policy of the company on behalf of the corporation. And as a result of that, they appoint then officers to carry out the mission that they designate. And their employees work for the officers who do all the work on that. It has a continuity of existence. That means it goes on perpetually unless you limit it for term of years. But other than that, it will go on forever. It has free transferability of its interests, which means that the shareholders can sell their share to another person. You don't have to have it only be sold to one individual. You can sell it to anybody as long as they're over age 18 or over age 21 in New York State. It has statutory sources of authority. Again, it's a creature of statute. It operates pursuant to the business corporation law, and it has to follow those terms and any other statutes within the state of New York. And lastly, it has constitutional rights. It has the right of free speech. It has the right of free association. It has due process rights, the same as natural people do. It does not have the right of privileges and immunities. That means you can discriminate against corporations that are non-domestic. That means they're formed in another state or country. You cannot discriminate that way against an individual person because of the Privileges and Immunities Clause. That's an exception to the rights within the constitutional status. And also, it doesn't have the right to vote for members of Congress, the President of the United States, state legislators. It doesn't have voting rights on that level. What are the powers? As we said, they're very broad. Own and transfer property, lend money, borrow money, buy and sell securities, make contracts, compensate employees and directors and officers, participate in other ventures with other private companies. It has a major residuary power, which is under the business corporation law, the most powerful power. Because what it says is, unless the business corporation law forbids it, it can do it. So it's a major, what we call a catch-all. So the corporation can do anything unless it's prohibited from doing it. And it can make contributions. Now, it's got to be careful on that, as we said the last time, because its purpose is to operate a business for profit. Its purpose isn't to give away money. Its purpose isn't to do good. It's to turn around and operate a business for profit. So can it make contributions? Yeah, but it's based on the fact that it makes a charitable contribution. It's supposed to do that for the purpose of not just helping the charity, but more importantly, for helping its corporate image so it makes more money. It also can make political contributions, but it is subject, just like natural people, to the financial limits of those contributions. New York State, a corporation can only give $5,000 per cycle to every candidate. So what does that mean is if you give $4,500 to one candidate, you can only give $500 to every other candidate collectively. So it only gets to give away $5,000 per cycle of their election on that. And that's it. And that's not a lot of money. Because you would think that, you know, corporations who make millions and millions of dollars, they're limited to $5,000 in the amount of the contributions that they can make politically. Now, under federal law, they have different limits. They have a limit of $1,000 per candidate. And as a result of that, their limits are also substantial, but they're subject to those limits the same as a natural person. They can make guarantees. They can indemnify their directors, their officers, their employees, and their agents and they can reacquire back their own shares to put it back in treasury stock so they can sell that to future employees or future shareholders, whatever. Okay, we're going to go through how do you form a corporation? What's the legal process of incorporation? Remember, we talked the last time about promoters. They're turning around getting investment, they're organizing it, they're writing a prospectus if one is required or desired, which is the general blueprint of what they want the corporation to do. It's kind of a game plan. But at the end of the day, there are certain requirements that the corporation's got to follow in order to comply with the provisions of the business corporation law. And it starts with the incorporators. As we say, those are the people who put these legal documents together and file them. One of the principal things they do is the certificate of incorporation. It's the constitution of the corporation. And then we'll go through the mechanics of incorporation, what they have to actually do with these documents, what they have to say, and how they file them. Okay, let's jump right in. The steps and entities involved in corporate formation, as we said, you have the pre-incorporation process, that's with the promoters and the subscriptions, that's what we talked about the last time. Those are the people who are the salespersons on the idea. They put together the prospectus, as we said, if there is one, and they sell the subscriptions. The subscriptions are the most important part because those subscriptions are the promises to buy the stock when it gets issued at the organizational meeting. That's how the corporation raises in money. You don't have the money, you can't really operate too well as a business. So, legal process of corporation, that's what we're going to go through tonight. You have the incorporators, the people who have put together those legal documents. You have the certificate of incorporation, which we'll go through in detail. You have the Office of Secretary of State. They are the administrator of filing all these papers. They take all the certificate of incorporation, any other document that they need to have, things like corporate name reservations, because you can reserve the name ahead of time if you want to. And they take all those documents and file them with their office after collecting fees and taxes from you. And they can turn around. That's how you form the corporation. But in order to have the corporation get up and running and be able to be legally formed, after you file those papers with the Secretary of State and pay all the fees and taxes, you have to hold an organizational meeting. That's going to be our next lecture, whereby you issue the actual shares that have been subscribed to. You hold an election for the board of directors. Once the board of directors has been selected, they then meet and they appoint their corporate officers. They do their banking resolution. You know, they have to put the money that they collect from selling the shares in a bank account, and they adopt the corporate bylaws. Let's jump in on the legal process of incorporation, because that's what we're going to talk about first. And it starts with incorporators. Who's an incorporator? A corporation is formed by compliance with the formalities prescribed in the New York State Business Corporation Law. Remember, it's a creature of statute. You have to go down that road with what is the Business Corporation Law. Most of the provisions within BCL are in Article 4 of that, which deals with corporate formation. There's a copy of that relevant provision at the end of our selected materials on our website. So if you want to read through what the statute actually says, post it up there for you so you can look at it. Who are incorporators? They're natural human beings. Okay, they're corporations don't incorporate other than you need natural persons to act as incorporators. That doesn't mean a corporation can't found a subsidiary, another corporation. They just have to use natural people to do it. And they are one or more. You need at least one, but generally you have more than that, who act as the incorporators for the corporation. These are the persons who sign and file the incorporation forms, the papers, the certificate of incorporation with the New York State Secretary of State. The role of the incorporators is to sign, and they have to do it under what is known as acknowledgement. That means they have to do it before a notary public, swearing that that's their signature. They also deliver after creating the certificate of incorporation. They draft the constitution of the corporation, and they draft it pursuant to the provisions of what should be in there that's not only in the best interest of the corporation, but what the requirements are under the business corporation law. So they draft that certificate of incorporation, and then they deliver it over the Department of State together with any other required items that the Secretary of State needs from you. If you reserve the name, you need to show that name that you have. And when the corporate existence has begun, the Secretary of State files a certificate, and the incorporators then will hold the organizational meeting. But they have to file it first. That filing of those documents, together with the monies that get paid to the Office of Secretary of State in return for filing, is done by the incorporators. What is the certificate of incorporation? That's the constitution of the corporation. A corporation is formed by the formalities of the BCL, but the first thing that it requires is a certificate of incorporation. In New York, articles of incorporations are called certificates. It's an interchangeable term. But recognize wherever you see the word certificate of incorporation is the same as what are also known as articles of incorporation. They're the same thing. And as a result, they include the original certificate of incorporation or any other instrument that the Secretary of State requires you to file. Black's Law Dictionary defines certificate of incorporation as the document issued by the state authority, the Secretary of State, granting the corporation a legal existence. In New York, Section 402 of the Business Corporation Law specifically says, what is this certificate? It is a document, a written document that's signed and acknowledged by the incorporators that sets forth the name of the corporation, the purposes of the corporation, the office of corporation, the authorized shares, how many shares that you can have, and the description of the shares, because shares can be different, the duration of the corporation, is it going to be perpetual or is it going to be for a term of years, who's going to be the registered agent that the Office of Secretary of State can contact on behalf of the corporation. The designation of the Secretary of State for service of process is required, limitations on directors' liability, if there are any, and any other provisions that the incorporators think is important to put in there. And there's a lot of things that they can, but those are the things that are required. Let's talk first, go through each one of these. The name of the corporation is what you want to call it. And it cannot have profane language in it, and there are certain things that it cannot say. You cannot use the word bank or doctor or insurance or lawyer, unless you're, of course, a professional corporation and doing that. And you can't have the same or confusingly similar name of another corporation that's been filed. But absent that, as long as you have the word corporation, incorporated, limited, or an abbreviation of those like INC or corp or inc at the end of your name. So if it is Bob's Donuts, it's going to be Bob's Donuts Inc. On that. You have to identify it in the name as a corporation. Absent that, you can pick any name that you wish. It can't be a name that intends to deceive or a name that has already been operating in New York. But other than that, you have pretty wide open ability to choose your name. A name can be reserved 60 days prior to your filing of the corporation papers through the certificate of incorporation with the Secretary of State, you can file a form to require that the corporation be called X, hold that name so somebody else doesn't take it, and that can be done on it. You can also get an extension on that for good cause shown, say, you know, we're not ready yet, I really need additional time, but at a minimum, you're entitled to 60 days before you form the corporation. What are the purposes of a corporation? They're very straightforward. And it is, as we said, that catch-all in there too. But the purposes of the corporation are basically any lawful purpose. Under the business corporation, your purpose of the corporation is to operate a business for profit. Well, that can be the purpose. That can be the loan purpose if you want. It's got to be a purpose which is legal. Obviously, you can't sell narcotics. You can't turn around and say that we're going to do contract killings for hire. It's got to be a legal business. But absent that, as long as you're legally entitled to do it, the purposes of the corporation can be that, and they can be broad. As we said, there's a residuary power where catch-all purpose clause is permitted to engage in any lawful act or activity which corporations may be organized for. So, you know, you can say whatever you want there, and it's always a good idea not to limit yourself, because when you do and you want to expand, you have one of two choices. You either violate your certificate of incorporation, which is never a good idea because you can end up getting sued by shareholders or other third parties, or you can have to go through the rigmarole of amending your certificate of incorporation, which, albeit not impossible, is a challenge, and it's an arduous thing that you can avoid if you want to. Office of incorporation, where is your office located? This doesn't have to be the principal place of business of the corporation, but it's got to be a location within New York, and you have to specify what county it's going to be in within your certificate. And you also have to put in how many authorized shares in the description of those shares within your certificate. So if you want to say, I want to issue a million shares, I want to have that right, and they're going to be all common stock, which means voting shares on that, well, guess what? You can do that. But there are certain things in here that you may want to consider. First, you don't want to have too many shares authorized, because that can be a serious problem in that people will pay a lot when they're just buying one of a million possible shares. So that relates to its value on the open common market. You may also want to have different classes of stock. You may want to have preferred stock, which is non-voting stock, but which gets dividends first. That's an investment vehicle as opposed to what we call an equity ownership interest, whereby your common shares entitle you to a vote, preferred shares do not. If you wish to issue preferred shares, you're going to have to put that in the certificate of incorporation. And any preemptive rights that you have with respect to those shares, limiting or denying people within the corporation of doing things is required as well. If you want to say that your shares cannot be bought by anyone other than someone with the last name of McGillicuddy, guess what? You can do that. That's called a closed corporation, but generally most corporations don't do that. They open up their shares to everyone. Avis Rent-A-Cars, I think what we said before, limited it to people who are employees of the company to buy their shares. That has to be put, any limitation like that has to be put within the certificate of incorporation. overall, you just put in a number. Remember, that can be amended at a later date, but the problem with doing that is you are never allowed to dilute the value of a share. That means if I own 1/1,000,000th of the company, that amount of my shareholding means it's always got to be 1/1,000,000th of the value of the company. So as a result of that, if the company wants to issue to another million shares, they have to give me another share. Why? Because I always have to own 1/1,000,000th of the company. They cannot dilute my share by issuing more. So from the get-go, you want to have enough shares so that you can have some that be issued later that's retained by the corporation. That's called treasury stock. But you also want to have a reasonable amount of the issuance. So when you go to sell them, when you go to sell the shares, that people want to buy them and they'll pay a decent amount for the share. How long is the corporation going to last? Is it going to be perpetual? Is it going to be for 30 years? Is it going to be for 5 years? You have to put that in the corporation's certificate, how long it's going to go. Most corporations, as we said before, choose the term perpetual. Hope is eternal, and they hope that that corporation will go on forever. Kind of like the Guinness sign when you walk into the Guinness factory in Ireland, in Dublin, on the floor, there's a charter that shows that the corporation is over 400 or over 300 years old, I believe. And as a result of that, it thinks it's going to go on forever, and it may well be. So you want to have that duration go on forever, and you want to say it's perpetual, unless you don't. And there is reasons why you might want to limit it. If it is something that you know is going to go away, that activity is going to go away, then there's no sense for it being perpetual. Go out for the useful life of whatever you want to achieve. If you start a corporation to do the 2022 Olympic Games in a certain city, and you know after 2024 everything's going to be wrapped up, you need some time afterwards to wrap things up, but you know it's not going to be going on 30 years from now, you may want to put a limited duration on it because you know you're going to have to wrap up the corporation. You have to name a registered agent for service and process, who's going to receive it, and remember, you also have to designate the Secretary of State on behalf of the public to receive process by them, so if someone wishes to sue you. So the registered agent that you name is someone in the corporation that can receive that service process forwarded from the Secretary of State, but when somebody gets sued, you designate, or when the corporation gets sued, you designate the Secretary of State to be the one to receive it on the corporation's behalf. You can provide for limitations on directors' liability on that, and you can also add any other provision that you think is important. And remember that this certificate of incorporation is the constitution of the corporation. So, you know, if you're going to be making something as a manufacturing business, say, and you say, we only want to use the highest quality goods in everything we do, or whenever we make employment decisions, we only want to hire the best possible people. Well, you could put that within your certificate of incorporation. Generally you do it as aspirational terms on those things. You know, you can say, we will always strive to hire the finest possible people. On that. So, you know, if you don't hire the best person, at least you tried. But any other provision that you do, let's say you hire, you create a corporation to manufacture electric cars, and you're opposed to manufacture cars that run on gasoline or natural gas or any other fossil fuel, you can turn around and say, we will not make a car that is has a power plant that is based off of fossil fuels. So You could say it's exclusively for electric cars. Well, those are the types of provisions you would put in the other area. Okay. Once you write that certificate of incorporation, how do you actually turn that into a corporation? You have that constitution, you have what you wrote. What do? What's the process of incorporation? One or more natural persons may act as incorporators. They can actually be a corporation as well. By signing and filing the appropriate forms. Of course, if it is a corporation, it's still going to be a natural person who acts on behalf of the corporation to do it. So again, they always have to be natural persons because of the fact that even corporations act by natural persons. You notify the Office of Secretary of State, these are our incorporators. They create that certificate. They put in all of those issues within that are required under Article 4 of the Business Corporation Law that's required within the certificate. And then the incorporators sign the certificate. They literally have to sign it, and they have to have that signature acknowledged by a notary public, saying, that's my signature, that's me, that's the person who's doing it, and I am over 18. They then take that certificate and file it together with the required fees and taxes with the New York State Department of State, the Secretary of State. That certificate has to be in English. It's required under the law. The BCL says it has to be in the English language, except that the corporate name may be in another language if it is written in English letters. So if you have a corporation which is going to do something with China, for example, it can be a Chinese name, but it's got to be written in English letters. The certificate, as we said, must be signed and acknowledged, and a notary public has to provide that oath that that was the person who signed it. Now, delivery, once that certificate of incorporation has been drafted and signed and acknowledged, which means notarized, the delivery can be by mail. They can mail it. It can be in person. They can physically deliver it to the offices of the Secretary of State down at the State Plaza on 99 Washington Avenue. Or they can fax it in. Presently, right now, the law does not provide by email. There is an executive order in place by the governor due to the COVID-19 virus that allows for such thing to occur, but absent that executive order's expiration, the statute does not presently provide by email. The only ways you can do it presently are by mail, in person, or by fax. There is a filing fee of $125. The fee may be paid by cash, check, money order, or credit card, and you also have to pay any taxes that are required, certain filing fees for specified, professional corporations or license fees. You have to show that those have been paid in order to do that. If you're operating as an electrician, you have to show that your electrician's license is up and running. But basically, the certificate and the $125 fee is most of what you need to pay. The filing is not discretionary by the Department of State. If the certificate of incorporation has met all the legal requirements, it's got to be filed. And that's the way it is. They can't say, geez, you know, I don't like your corporation, or I don't like what you're going to be doing. I don't want electric cars to be made. I like gas cars. Electric cars use too much electricity, and I love electricity, whatever. They can't do that. They, as long as the business is legal, as long as your papers are in order pursuant to the business corporation law, the Department of State, the Secretary of State has to file it. And once it's filed, it's conclusive evidence that you complied with the BCL, because the only way they can file it is if you do comply with the BCL, with the business corporation law. And the Secretary of State will provide you with a receipt upon filing. Yes, you filed the papers. Yes, you paid the $125 fee. Yes, you paid any taxes or fees that you had to pay over and above that. Everything's in order. You filed it. And once you do that filing, your corporate existence commences. And it commences as of the date of the filing. Now, your corporation existence has not been perfected yet. Why? Because you have to hold that organizational meeting. And we'll talk about that in our next lecture. But once you file those papers, your corporation, as of that date, has been started. And that is a necessary thing, because in order to hold that organizational meeting, you have to be a person under the law as a corporation. And that can't happen unless your corporate existence commences at the time of the filing. Now, again, your corporate status isn't perfected until such time as you hold that organizational meeting, but legally your corporation starts as the day of the filing. Now, you can, with all the papers that you file, say, I don't want to start it today. I don't want to start it at the date of filing. I want to start it 20 days from now, because we have to get some things together before we hold that organizational meeting. We can't do it right away. So as a result of that, you're entitled to have a 90-day, up to a 90-day delay to start your corporate existence. But that's an additional form that you have to file in the event that you want it. Absent that form being filed, it starts as of the day of filing. Now, again, post-execution, you need to hold that organizational meeting. And at that organizational meeting, you're going to issue shares to shareholders pursuant to the subscriptions that were sold by the promoters. You're going to elect your board of directors to take over the management of the corporation. You're going to adopt bylaws, and you're going to perform any other business that the corporation has to do at that organizational meeting. Now, it should be noted that incorporators may not have to hold an organizational meeting if all of the prospective shareholders and incorporators agree to that. That rarely happens. So you generally will have to hold that organizational meeting. Now, there is no minimum capital requirement, such as you have to raise $100,000 in subscriptions to be able to start a corporation under New York State law. Doesn't have to happen. There is no minimum capital. That capital is what it is. And as a result of that, we don't have that requirement. Some states do, but New York does not. That wraps up what we're talking about, the process of incorporation. Next time we're going to go to the organizational meeting, and we appreciate you taking the time to listen. Thanks so much.